Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution of the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. And NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign, online at nyscasa.org.
Welcome to the Capital Connection. I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us today is New York State Assemblyman George Amador, a Republican who has represented the 105th District since 2007. Amador is currently running for the 46th State Senate District. Assemblyman George Amador, welcome to the show. Glad to have you here.
Well, pleasure to be with you, Alan.
So what would make somebody, I don't get it, what would make somebody leave a nice, wonderful, secure job in the minority in the Assembly to go into the majority party in the Senate?
Well, what would make anyone run, period, for the state legislature coming from the private sector is, you have to ask yourself that long and hard. And, this is an opportunity, Alan, to represent the Capital Region. And, I think this is one of the first times where we really see Mohawk Valley and Hudson Valley come together as one district. And
that's why they call it the Hudson Mohawk, whatever.
To really be a strong voice and advocate for small businesses and the taxpayers in the state, in upstate New York here.
So how do you figure your chances?
Well, I think my chances are probably as equal to where they were back in 2007. It will be next month will be my 5-year anniversary here. I wasn't expected to win the assembly seat back then. It was a district that is overwhelmingly more Democrat than Republican. And, we see now the Senate seat to kind of be the same type of makeup, more Democrat than Republican. But again, I think my background, being in the private sector as a business person.
What was your business?
I am still a home builder and developer and real estate broker in the state of New York. And it's a family business. I'm second generation owner of that business. And, every single day, I think the definition of what a true citizen legislator is, which we don't have many in the state legislature.
So I guess looking for trouble, let me ask you this question. When you were in this assembly and Mayor Koch asked you to sign something that said, an outside group should apportion the legislature, did you sign it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now you're going into a Senate where a lot of guys signed it, and then when they unexpectedly found themselves in the majority, decided to say no. I mean, what do you think of that? Do you still believe there ought to be an outside group doing this?
Yes, there needs to be an independent redistricting council, commission, or group that's going to really draw these lines. I took a lot of criticism, Alan, on that, because when the vote came up in the legislature that, okay, here's now all of the lines, here's all the districts, I actually voted no.
Really?
Yeah. And
you mean in the assembly?
I have voted no in the assembly.
Well, it makes sense to vote no in the assembly. Would you vote no in the Senate under the same conditions? In other words, the assembly, you're a small minority of Republicans and they shove these lines down your throat. Sure, you vote no. But now what do you do when you get into the Senate and you're in the majority by one vote or two votes?
I don't think that's necessary. I'm still George Amador, the same person, whether I'm in the majority or in the minority. And, it's a matter of principle and having integrity, and we need that in the state legislature. I think a good leader, strong leader, has to have core fundamental values and principles, and having integrity. When I signed a pledge, I meant that pledge, and I will uphold that pledge, and I did so by demonstrating, because I took a lot of flack even from the majority in the Senate. How could you possibly vote no? Because we need an independent redistricting process here.
There comes that point, not to beat the horse, but that some of the people you'll be sitting with if you win will say, are you out of your mind? This will cost us everything. We're up by one or two votes. If it's done fairly, we might lose the whole shebang, and then where will you be?
Alan, look, I didn't go to Albany to make friends. As a matter of fact, I said it back in 2007, and I'll say it again. I may not be the most popular guy in Albany. Look, we need change. We need to have leadership that really is in tune with the people And every single day that I'm out in the trenches, and when I, and that's not meaning, you know, knocking on doors and trying to win over voters. I'm in the trenches of working in a business, of understanding the pain and the frustration of what it is in the state of New York. Why are we 49th on the list of economic opportunities or being highly taxed and overregulated? How can we change that? How can we foster job creation? Not by government, having a politician say, oh, I've created jobs, but empowering the private sector to create the jobs.
How do you do it?
Well, number one, we've got to change the environment, the economic environment. And I don't believe that government has to kind of dangle that old carrot out in front of the noses of big businesses outside the state lines here, and entice them by giving them a lot of money, giving them tax benefits, and we, in the state of New York, we're the taxpayers, and small businesses, we're the ones that ultimately will have to pay the difference in the balance of
it. So the government, including what would be your future leader, gave a lot of money to create, you know, a major place at SUNY that would bring people from all over the country to work here and foster jobs. Was that wrong?
Look, there is a wise investment that we need to make. The state of New York, the best investment they could make right now is just not giving a bunch of money out there for to businesses to come. Let's change and reform the policies that we have. We are highly overregulated. We're choking the agricultural industry.
Stop, yeah. George Amador. Tell me an example of where we're overregulated.
Well, we're overregulated in ways that, for instance, a small business who has an idea, a dream, or a plan, who wants to put forth, goes out and leases office space or a storefront or whatever it may be, has a lease, is paying insurance, is trying to get their licenses to operate, trying to go through any state agency to go and open up shop, and they can't right away. It takes months upon months, if not year, to try to get something open. Now, meanwhile, that small business owner, with all of that capital, his or her sweat equity and putting in the business, can't open the doors because we have to go through this bureaucracy of trying to get this business open.
Okay, following up on that, George, if in fact you give us that story, and then we come down to the one piece of that is licensure that I find very interesting, do you think that the state is over-licensed? In other words, do we demand too much from people to open a business?
I think that we have, there's places, and there is a place for licenses in certain businesses. For instance, I'm a licensed real estate broker.
Right.
Okay? I get it. I understand.
Well, suppose we just said, okay, no more licenses for real estate brokers. Anybody can do it.
Well, go through the proper education. Mm-hmm. Okay? You pass the education, you go out there and you start selling real estate. Do I need a license to do that? Well, here in the state of New York, you do. But you do in also some other states. But how about, though, the—
Doesn't that protect people who are buying homes because they know that they're dealing with somebody who knows what they're doing?
You know, you look at, for instance, all the licensed mortgage brokers that were out there.
Sure.
And you look at what happened to the housing industry. And what was it? We have high foreclosure rates because we were giving money to people who ultimately couldn't afford to pay it back.
Sure.
Okay? Yeah. And they were all licensed individuals.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, is because the license there, because that does that qualify them to be more professional, more educated, better, you know, ethically? No, not necessarily.
All right, let me carry that on, George Amador. In New York City now, I love to walk around, and now each restaurant has to prominently display a big letter in front of their A or B or incomplete or whatever. Mayor Bloomberg wanted that. They got it. The people get to know whether the kitchen is clean or not. There's an example of what some people might consider an onerous thing to have hanging over their heads. What do you think?
Well, it's one of the things that I look for, believe it or not, when I go down the streets of New York City. I look for an A, the big blue A that's in the window, and I also look for the Zagat rating that's on their storefront. The state health department needs to go in there, and they need to make sure that, you know, these kitchens are clean.
Sure.
And you know, that's public safety. That's public health issue. And we need to do the same thing in many different industries in the state of New York. But again, it goes back to what is stopping and hindering the job creation in New York State. It's not the fact that we spend. I mean, come on, think about it. We have one of the largest state budgets in all of America as a state.
Indeed, yeah. Sure.
Okay. It's a matter of really being good stewards of the $132 billion, investing where we need to invest in, meaning that I believe that we have fundamental core principles of government that needs to take care of its citizens who can't fend for themselves. Okay, but there's also a lot of able-bodied individuals who can fend for themselves, but yet I think they're abusing the system, and it's costing taxpayers a great deal. So what can we do about it? Again, we need to create an economic environment that says to all of America, New York State is open for business, and here's the reason why. Not that we're going to turn a blind eye to anyone who wants to come in. They can just break the law or take advantage of the consumer. Absolutely not. But the flow of business, a free enterprise, it's too burdensome. It's too slow of a process in the state of New York.
Okay, I need a little bit more specificity. So you gave me an idea of licensing.
Well, we can go take a look at, I have in the 105th Assembly District, 60% of my district is agriculture.
Okay.
And I've talked to many different farmers. I sit on the ag committee in the legislature, in the assembly. You go and you talk to a farmer who wants to put up a new silo,
sure.
Wants to put in a new compost area, because if they're a dairy farmer, what are you going to do with all the manure and everything else? And what they have to go through just to keep that small business going or expand that small business, it takes months upon months upon months for permitting, for whether they want to get a building permit, whether they want to get a special use permit, whether they want to get a zone change, whether they want to go and they need to get a state agency to sign off on something. And I know we need to protect our environment. Absolutely. We got one shot. We got one environment. So let's make sure that we preserve it. And we have good conservation. But yet we go to in this state, sometimes to the extreme where we're hindering the flow of business.
Okay,
and then we look at it and say, why is consumer confidence as low as it is now?
Okay, so let's take some of those. Zoning. There are people who think, you know, there's too much power in zoning boards and others. You think that that's the case?
I think in a local issue, zoning is mainly a lot of local issues. I think in some of these zoning boards that we have out there, I think we have individuals sometimes who do not have a clue, believe it or not. They're there for a specific purpose, and they have an agenda. And if that's sometime to stop or to even foster growth in a local municipality, you know, then that's their agenda. The state of New York has many problems. We face a lot of different difficulties here in the state of New York. One being our energy policy here. We want to be green. We want to be very dependent on alternative green sources of energy. But let's go back to the whole zoning part. Well, we're going to have bans on wind farms because we don't like the way they look. It's a zoning issue. And it's becoming very prevalent in a lot of the rural areas. So what do we do? And then the next thing is going to be with solar photovoltaic panels.
Absolutely.
Well, we can't see those big, giant, shiny things on the hillside next. So, but yet we also are trying to go forth and put clean energy policy in place so that we can, because Alan, I don't know if you know this or not, New York State, we pay as New Yorkers 66% higher than the national average on our electric bill. On our energy bill, because the cost of energy, the distribution of energy, the surtaxes, the surcharges, everything else that's on that bill raises that cost up. But meanwhile, we have some of the least cost production of energy in all of America because we have an abundance of hydro and a lot of other good, clean sources of energy production. But yet we pay, again, the highest 66% higher. I could see, okay, this is the state of New York. Maybe we would pay 10, 15%.
So why do we? I mean, you know, we pay more than Texas and California, you know, for our school districts. Why do we do that? How do they get away with it when we don't?
Well, we have, I think we have too much bureaucracy. It's too big. It's too thick in Albany. And we have, I believe, too big of a government that is inefficient in Albany. My philosophy, Alan, is the bigger the government, the poorer the people. And I got to give credit to Governor Cuomo. I mean, he's doing what he can do and everything he's trying, because I have now almost 5 years I've been involved here. You know, talked about consolidation, talked about elimination, talk about, you know, where we got to cut the
waste. Well,
let's take
consolidation. How do you get those school districts to combine?
Well, you know, that's a matter of the district vote and the residents.
Yeah, but
of those
districts. Mean, what's the incentive that you offer them in order to do that? We have too many school districts. We know that.
We absolutely do, and I am a big supporter of consolidating some of these rural school areas, because if they don't consolidate, the unfortunate thing is you're going to be forced to close, and we can't have that. The state of New York, what Governor Cuomo put forth, I think it was even last year in the budget or so, you know, an incentive for consolidation. I know in the 105th Assembly District in Montgomery County, the school district of St. Johnsville was going to, had a proposal to merge with Euphrates Oppenheimer School, which was in Fulton County. And I was there all the way through this whole process, and we were so, so close.
But you know what happened?
Well, it got shot down on the Euphrates Oppenheimer School District by a few votes. And that was because people thought, and here's the reason,
yeah,
people didn't have the trust in its government that they were really going to fund the $14.3 million over the period of time that they said they would fund, because that school district went through a reorganization or capital improvement project prior years before this merger proposal, and they were very sketchy, knowing they thought that the government was going to back out. No way are they ever going to give us the $14.3 million over time. And they voted it down. Look, it's a hard thing, but we need to, in some areas, we need to consolidate, eliminate, and, you know, let's build maybe a new identity, a new logo, a new slogan for a school district or towns, municipalities, or consolidate water districts, sewer districts, you know, even in some of these public safety areas. I know I have a very rural district. We can't afford it. When you look at the property tax burden that upstate New Yorkers pay, we can't continue to go and ask for more.
Now, this program is heard all over New York State. It's heard in New York City, in many of the public radio, if not all of them, public radio stations around the state. What can you say as somebody who comes from a rural district, but who recognizes that half the people live in one city? As a state senator, when you come in, you know, there's this always this fight between upstate and downstate, who gets more, who should get more. What do you make of all of that?
Well, look, I think we got to look at one thing. We are all New Yorkers. And we all want to invest in education. We all want to make sure that our children have the best possible educational system. And that comes at a price. But we're already paying the highest price in all of America, because we're paying about nearly $17,000 a pupil. Okay? But yet, when we look at the grades and the results we're getting, it's some of the poorest in America. So education, as New Yorkers, it's the same. We all want it for our children. It's to me, it's not a downstate upstate thing. It's about equality. And where is there? Right now, we see a lot of geographic discrimination that occurs. At least I've seen it being in the assembly. Why? Because you got a lot of New York City assemblymen who rule the roost over there. Okay, and that there's not much of a balance in that house at all.
So let me ask you this. I want to ask you about charter schools. Yep. What do you make of that whole movement?
Look, I think that there is a place and a purpose for freedom of choice of education, period. Whether it, you know, charter school, private school.
Vouchers, would you let people use vouchers to
I would.
Send the,
okay. Yeah, I would. And if that's going to, you know, help with the quality of our education in the state of New York, you know,
but there'll so be somebody there'll be somebody in Georgia in your district who will be saying, who sits on a board of education, yeah, but that'll rob money from our school system in order to do that.
Look, I send my my daughter. She's 16. She's a sophomore in high school. She goes to a private school. Not only do I pay the private school tuition, but I also pay my property taxes. Okay, that goes to that school district, and you know what? It's a win-win for that school district, because my child isn't in that school district. It doesn't, and that's not robbing. That's giving opportunity, I believe. But I think we need to get, you know, Alan, the whole education topic, I totally think that in the state of New York, we need to totally revolutionize our educational system in the state of New York here. We need to turn it upside down because it's not working. And I would really like to see a educational system that just stops teaching to the test. Yeah, Regents is important, but you know what? I have two other children who are in college. And all of the colleges that they went and applied for, they didn't give a darn about that Regents diploma, okay? But you know what I'd like to see? I would like to see the state of New York investing in more vocational education experiences, because we need to train a workforce to bring back the jobs, because we all say we want jobs. We all say we want it. But yet we're not equipping our young people. And we need to equip our young people at a very young age, not in the higher education age, but at a young age.
So you would have vocational schools?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, being in the building business as a builder, I need good, talented plumbers, carpenters, electricians, HVAC mechanical contractors. Mm-hmm. I need masons. We're not teaching these skill sets anymore. I need mechanics. I need someone who understands how to turn a wrench. These are good jobs that built America, that built rural upstate and downstate, that built the urban areas of this great state.
So we have something called unions, and sometimes unions operate, you know, where you have to know somebody or you have to be somebody's kid. Discrimination has not been unknown. Where do you stand on that?
Well, look, I don't discriminate on anyone, one should be discriminated.
But you're not running a union.
Look, there's a place, I think, for union shops, and I think, though, that there's got to be protection for employees and make it also equitable for the employer. I think any employer who abuses and takes advantage of the employees, absolutely wrong, and I think we have tons, and we got tremendous amount of laws and statutes on New York State books right now with general business laws that protects the employer. Our employee absolutely does. But how do we make it where that we're educating our kids to dream, you know, I want to be like my grandfather was, or I want to be like my father was. Ask a kid today, ask him, a young child, because when you were asked, Alan, when you were a child, what do you want to grow up to be? And we were proud. I was proud to say, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a police officer, sure. I want to do something. Today, our kids aren't even saying those things anymore.
What are they saying?
They don't know well, it's a matter of, well, let's sit, maybe I can sit in front of a computer and play another game, okay? Which is not bad, but yet we are losing our future generations because we're not empowering them and giving them that influence that you need to dream. And you can be leaders, and you can do good for your community, and be productive and self-sufficient. And you know what? It will pay off, because the American dream does work. It's still alive today.
Well, George Amador, I wish I could talk to you for another 2 hours, because believe me, it's been a fascinating conversation. Our guest has been New York State Assemblyman George Amador, a Republican who is seeking the new 46th District Senate seat. George, good luck, as I say to everybody, and I hope that things come out all right for you.
Thank you so much, Alan. Nice to be with you.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. Ian Pickus is producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC, Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org. and NISCASA, the New York State Coalition Against Sexual Assault, working to support men in their decisions to end sexual violence with the My Strength Is Not For Hurting campaign. Online at nyscasa.org.